continuing on with our series of Together. But before we jump into it, I just want to make a quick announcement. So from 8 to 8:30 every Sunday morning, on the church link, it's on the website. I believe it's on the WhatsApp group as well. But there's going to be a time of prayer that anyone is invited to if you want to do that on Sunday mornings. I know that's a big ask at 8 a.m. on a Sunday, but we are praying together, and so please come. You can just log on and on Zoom, yes, on Zoom, and yeah, it won't be here or anything, so it'll be on your computer on Zoom, and we'll make sure on the weekly emails that I'll send out, I'll also send the link out tomorrow as well. So yeah, you can turn your screen off. We don't have to see you. I mean, do whatever you want, what you're comfortable with, turn your video on or off. You don't even have to pray necessarily. You can just come and listen. So please just, I just want to make that available to everybody. It's just a good time that we can come together in prayer. So inviting you to that. All right, but we are continuing on with Together. So we've been doing all these different themes of Together. And today we're going to be talking about Together in Missions. Together in Missions. And if you guys know a little bit of my backstory, try to rein Trotter in on this one. I could talk all day about this one. I've been a missionary for over 20 years now, serving in many places around the globe and also in the States. And so, yeah, I will. We're going to get a little appetizer, I guess. So, let's say this. Has anybody ever been lost, like really lost? Anybody? Yeah. You know that feeling, right? And I'm talking about lost in like the pre-GPS days, lost, right? You know, as a blind guy, I've been lost many times. And I guess the cool thing about it is I'm here. So that means I got unlost, right? And so I always, you know, people are always like freaking out about being lost. And I'm like, it's going to be okay. It really, really is. You got to get some feedback from somewhere. Stop at the gas station. We don't even have to do that anymore. Like, we would never stop at the gas station nowadays. Although some men never stopped at the gas station. I remember my dad. Whew, I think men have it especially tough with that category. I will not ask for directions. You know, back in the 80s and 90s, and now we have our GPS. But anyways, lostness. And so I've definitely been lost. I'm kind of fine when I'm lost on my own, but when I'm lost with someone else, that kind of adds to the pressure. I once got lost with Amos about a year ago on a beach. I didn't have my phone. I didn't have anything. I don't even know people's phone numbers, you know. I didn't even know Charity's phone number, which is she had just changed her phone recently. So anyway, lostness. But I want to be talking about this in kind of two ways when we look at missions. So on the one hand, we do have people who are in our world who are like Jesus uses the words, right? They're like sheep without a shepherd, right? They are lost in that sense that they are lost sheep. Like they don't know where to go. That word like harassed and helpless, it carries the connotation of being thrown overboard and there's no way to rescue them, right? And so there's that, but then also within the church, there's a little bit of lostness going on in terms of our mission, in terms of mission drift. People oftentimes are not really quite sure what we should be doing. And this is very true in missions. It's so true in missions. In fact, in 1961, a historian named Stephen Neal, he made this big address to a bunch of mission leaders all around the world because he felt like the nucleus of mission was being lost. And he made this statement, it's become really well known, when everything is mission, nothing is mission. When everything is mission, nothing is mission. Mission, and that's gotten a lot of mileage. And what he was trying to say by that there was like a centrality of mission that had kind of drifted. Because if we even think, you know, we fast forward many, many years later from 1961, we have all kinds of things in missions, right? We have medical missions, we have mission trips and short-term trips, and you go and you paint a building, and then 2 weeks later, another group comes and paints the same building. And you know, I'm kidding. I'm not dogging on all of short-term missions, but sometimes that does happen, right? You have humanitarian aid. We have gospel proclamation in terms of, you know, there's Bible literature, there's Bible training schools, there's Bible translation, there's evangelism. In some contexts, they're still doing kind of big events, open air crusades, as they were doing. It's still effective in many places of the globe. And so we have all of these spinning at once. And so when people say, I'm going to do missions, it's a little bit tricky to understand what we're meaning. One term that's been thrown around recently, I'd say in the last 15, 20 years, is this term holistic mission. And holistic mission kind of just includes, as you would think, like the whole person, spiritual, emotional, physical, whatever. And I think there's some good in that, except for it kind of turns mission into like this therapeutic, human-centered kind of mission, right? We're gonna minister to the person, and it kind of becomes mostly about the person. And then we have this other term that kind of arose, missional, right? Missional church, you know, everything is missions, right? And then that was cool, except for it all centered around people having a mission, but what else do we have besides mission? So it's all these sort of debates going on. And so what is it? And I think probably the wrong thing is for us to start with ourselves, but why don't we start with God, right? And his mission, right? So you look all the way back. We've been talking about this all series, but all the way back in Genesis, right? We were created, you know, to reflect God's mission in the world and reflect his image in the world, right? And so that was his idea. It was also his idea to bless Abraham and call him to be a blessing to all of the nations, right? It was also his idea to raise up prophets who got people back to the temple of praise, where there's this centripetal kind of pushing towards the center of mission. It was also God's idea to inspire the psalmist to cry out for the nations, right? It was also God's idea to raise up and send his own son, right? It's salvation for all people, right? It was also God's idea to raise up disciples, then to take this mission literally to the ends of the earth and cross cultural barriers. And it is also God's idea that we will one day be gathered around the throne, all nations, all people, all tribes, and all tongues worshiping him, right? So may we not start with us. May we start with God, who has this robust, glorious mission. And if we as a church, guys, if we put missions on the periphery, we are really interpreting scripture inaccurately. Because mission has always been from the beginning. It is a missionary book. If you read it, it's hard to go through a book of the Bible and not see this mission or missiological emphasis. And so I challenge you to do that. As you're reading through, if you do your Bible plan thing, you know, read for a year, I challenge you to just sort of try to circle all the different times thoughts of the nations or the peoples are there. So I want to start out with that. We are going to, I think one of the best ways this is summed up is in, I think Karen maybe mentioned this last week, but Ephesians 1, 8, and 9. That is actually not going to be my landing spot, but I think it's kind of summed up here. And it says that He, God, made known the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure by purposing in Christ that all things in heaven and earth would be brought to unity under Christ. That's a pretty big statement, right? That in the time of at the right time that God fulfilled this purpose, that he would, for his good pleasure, he would bring all things in heaven and earth, right? Heaven and earth were going to collide. We talk a lot in the Vineyard about the kingdom of God, right? And this was going to come to fulfillment. So everything in heaven and earth, that's so vast. That's so big. And I think sometimes people are like, oh man, why does it have to be so big? I can't get my mind around that. I know. Good luck with that. I mean, we're talking about God. We're talking about God's mission and God's glory when heaven and earth meet. I like to think of heaven and earth kissing, in a sense. And that is really what is happening when we're talking about mission. So before we're going to land in Matthew 28, which is a very common text. So you can flip there if you want. Most of you hopefully have it memorized, Matthew 28, 18 and 19. But before we get there, so a bunch of mission leaders have gotten together, and we've known this like throughout church history. There's been like different councils and different people, and they get together and they decide things. Right, we see that in the book of Acts, and we see that kind of in theological history, Nicene Creed, and all these different creeds that we have. But there has been an organization that has been around for many, many years now called the Lausanne Council. And they are a mission council of churches from all around the world, right? It wasn't just a bunch of white Americans getting together and say, this is what mission is. But this is a bunch of people from all over the world, different walks of life. And they've been kind of narrowing because there is mission drift, right? And people get off course. And so this has been very well accepted within the church global community. And there's basically these five main areas, which I think that we can pull them out of the Great Commission, which that's going to be the task of the day. So the main things are these five categories: evangelism, discipleship or teaching, evangelism, discipleship / teaching, compassion, justice, and creation care. Ooh, worldwide church agrees to this. I just hear me out. All right. So we're gonna look at Matthew 28 and kind of jump into this. So if you have your Bibles, if you have it memorized. All authority, this is 19 to 20, or 18 through 20, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me, Jesus. Right? All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. All right, so let's, there's so many ways to look at this, but let's, okay, well, do this for me. I need some interaction, non-verbally at least. All right, so if you can put your hands in a circle like this and just look down at a circle. All right, and so that's going to be your spoke of a wheel, okay? That's your spoke. And then you're going to have to use your imagination, unless you have like 15 pencils with you or something, to be spokes around that wheel. So just imagine that there's spokes sticking out of that wheel. All right, so when we look at this Great Commission text, there's this all authority in heaven and earth piece. And what I would root is that center spoke is right in the middle. You're looking at your hands there, is that Jesus is Lord, right? The Lordship of Christ. The story of Jesus, I would even put right there at the center piece, right? Now, and when we look at all these other things, and I'll try to weave them the best I can through this text, is the spokes all representing different areas of discipleship and teaching, seminary training, biblical training, compassion, medical missions and hospitals, and poverty alleviation, you know, all these different things, right? Anti-sex trafficking work, that would also go there under compassion. So those are all representing, again, you're looking at the spoke, they're all representing all these different spokes. This justice thing, Jesus, you know, he talked about in his own life that he had come to free the oppressed, right? So within matters of justice, there might be defending the cause of the poor, or where there's unjust systems, right? There will be a place for that in God's mission. Even, right? And so imagine the spoke, it's a spoke, right? It's not the hub, it's a spoke of that. And so all these different elements, justice, compassion, and even creation care, Genesis 1, and then at the very last chapter, a lot of Christians, they have deleted those two chapters from the Bible when they think about the mission. But it starts and ends in the garden. It starts with creation care and caring for the earth and caring and taking dominion, and it ends in the garden. And so we have a responsibility to care for the environment and the creation that God has given us, right? And so they're all kind of rooted there. So let me do this. So when we're thinking about evangelism and the story of God, I think sometimes when people talk about mission, they're thinking a lot about the priorities, like which is more important? Is it preaching or is it medical stuff? You know, is it proclamation of the gospel or is it feeding the homeless? From my perspective, guys, that's the wrong question, because it's all part of the same wheel, right? If you don't have the centrality of the proclamation of the gospel, you don't have a wheel. And if you don't have, you know, humanitarian aid, compassion, justice, creation care, you don't either have a wheel, right? But the centerpiece, from my perspective and many other people's perspective, and I think I can argue this from scripture pretty easily, is that that centerpiece of the story of Jesus and the story of God and the Lordship of Christ, that must be connect, that must be the root, because that's what we're basing everything on, or everything hinges on Jesus. Right? We can do all the good humanitarian compassionate stuff that we can do, but if it's not connected to the hub, which is therefore connected to the engine, right, the Holy Spirit's power, then we don't really have a wheel, right? We don't really have any movement forward. So this whole thing about evangelism, I think evangelism gets a very bad rap because we're oftentimes looking at evangelism through the context of the United States of America and America evangelical Christianity, or we're looking through it from the lens of our least favorite method of proclamation of the gospel. But I would like us to step back a little bit and look at this idea that Jesus, you know, that Jesus came, right? And he lived this perfect, awesome life. And there was, I mean, Jesus told the disciples, right, in Mark 1, to repent and believe. There is a call to repentance. There's a call to turn away from our sin, to turn to God, and enter into the fullness of his story. And if that part of missions is missing, we have a huge, huge problem. So I want us to really zero in on the hub and knowing that it looks differently. So many of you probably don't know this, but Charity is a pretty powerful evangelist. How can that be? She doesn't like to talk that much. Imagine that God could use someone that doesn't talk that much to announce his mission. It is amazing. The God who made the galaxies can actually make an introvert into an evangelist. Sarcasm high. Okay? But it's just, of course God can do all things, right? And he's bringing together all things in heaven and earth, and so he can turn introverts into evangelists. Right? So hear me. I'm not saying that we're all evangelists. No. But I am saying that if we're going to be connected to the hub, that evangelistic fervor and that evangelistic story, we've got to root ourselves there. All right. So however it looks. So I don't know, for Charity, it's just crazy. I don't know how this happens. There's a unique anointing on her life, I think. But she can just be getting into conversations with people. I don't know how this happens, but like all the time, people are just like, oh, by the way, this and this and this and this is going on in my life, and I'm a mess, and da-da-da-da-da. And Charity's like, oh, really? And she's a pretty direct, Charity's pretty direct, actually. She's, you know, she's, oh, sweet, whatever. But she's very direct. And she's like, oh, so it seems like this, and this might be missing. Like, have you considered that? And so, you know, redirecting like people back to, you know, why they were created. And so I'm going to spend a little bit more time on this than we just need to camp out here a little bit. But please, let's be careful about all the different styles of evangelism, because this is rooted to the hub. And let us not dog on people who have a different style than us. Look into the book of Acts. There's some bold, bold proclamation going on. Like, oh, you know, we can never do that. We can never be bold like that. Take it up with Paul. You know, take it up with Peter. Take it up with some of these people, these giants of the faith who, in their context, they did it that way. There's other times where people are, you know, are inviting people to parties. Jesus did that a lot, right? He invited people to parties. They're having, you know, conversations around the table. So let us be careful. Let us be careful on ripping on other believers who are doing the best that they possibly can to be bold in their witness, right? So anyway, I just want to, I feel like that's a necessary commentary because, man, I hear this, gosh, probably twice a week I hear this conversation. That's the centerpiece. Now, this other thing I want to mention is that we're all called to mission. We're not all missionaries. Actually, I think the latest stat is 1 in 1,800 Christians will be a cross-cultural missionary in that sense. So it's pretty logical that we're not all that. 1 in 1,800. And it's also, you know, it does, if we say that we're all missionaries, right? I don't know if you grew up with this statement, right? You're either a missionary or a mission field. Did anybody grow up with that? All right, maybe that was an Assemblies of God thing. Okay, you're either a missionary or mission field. Probably was an Assemblies of God thing because they are like pumping out missionaries like left and right. All right, so that is sometimes communicated, right? That like you're either in or you're not. But I do want to make the statement that there is no JV and varsity. right, in God's kingdom. It's not like, oh, that person's a missionary and you're less than, but there is a distinct calling. So I would say let's just be a little bit careful about how we're using the word missionary, and everybody mission be a missionary. Everybody's a missionary. Everybody's a missionary. We can say that, but let's just realize that there is a unique, specific call, just like there's evangelists and there's pastors and there's teachers. Not everybody's a pastor. Not everybody's a surgeon, you know? Well, we're all surgeons. Yeah, it just logically doesn't work out, right? I mean, if we're all surgeons and I have a heart attack, I don't want just some random person that thinks they're a surgeon working on my heart, right? So anyway, I know I've harbored on that a little bit, but I do think it's necessary, because what it can do then is we can encourage people when they do get a calling on their life, that we can send them out with passion and with fervor and with faith and with money, right? And so anyway, I think that's important. All right, so then all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Therefore, go and make disciples. There was a mission convention I heard about not super long ago, and the title of the convention was like, Just Go, Just Go. And that's really only a really small part of this commission. There's actually many commands there. And I think it was Christopher Wright, he was commenting on this sort of thing. He's like, just go. He's like, just stop for a second. He's like, just think about it for a minute, you know? And it was like, you can go, but if you have like no ammunition, right? It's just sort of like, what are you going to do when you get there? But there is that going piece. There is a cross-cultural element. I mean, Charity and I, we lived in an area where that only 3% of the missionary task force is going to, and that's among people who have never heard the gospel before. So there is an imbalance, but there is this going, there is this crossing of a cultural barrier, and there's evangelism, the proclamation that needs to take place. And then there's this discipleship or teaching piece, right, where we're teaching them to obey what the Lord has commanded us. So there's proclamation, there's teaching, and just trying to help people understand the meta-narrative of Scripture, you know, the whole thing, right? And so we're doing that. That's part of the Great Commission. That's the making of disciples. Pastor Nancy is going to talk all about discipleship next week, so I'll let her do the dance on that one, all right? but that's hugely important, okay? So just press pause if you want to know more. Come next week, all right? And all of that, again, that's the hub, and that's rooted, or that's connected to all these other spokes. This whole idea of teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, right? I think that it can be rooted certainly to, you know, throughout the Scriptures, but when we look at the life of Christ, right, he was one who was doing compassion all the time. You know, reaching out in compassion, welcoming people that other people would not want to welcome. That's how he spent his days. It's exemplified in everything that he said and did, right? And then we see this justice, I think, can also be connected to the Gospels, right? Even Jesus' announcement from Luke 4. I know I keep going back to that, but I think it's so critical. Is the anointing was on Jesus to preach good news to the poor and to free the oppressed. And if Jesus had that mission, I think it would be nice if we also had that mission, right? And so it's connected to that. So then teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. So we have this vastness of the Scripture, or excuse me, the vastness of the mission. And then really we could start with creation care, because all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. So there is this lordship piece. There is this God over all creation. Right, and the Lord's words was to preach to all creation, which is really interesting, right? And so things like caring for the environment, you know, things like the fact that we're doing this Adopt-A-Block, I don't think it's solely just because we want to be like, ooh, look at us in the community, notice us, please. It's creation care. We're trying to care for our world, right? And so there's some major aspects of that to do with water and clean water and all kinds of initiatives that we can put our hand to. All right, so I hope that you're seeing the bigness of the mission of God, And in the last few minutes that we have together, I would just like to do my best to connect us in that this can't happen from one ministry, right? This can't happen from one singular ministry or one singular person. But there's this aspect of being together that must take place. So I would like to kind of challenge this whole thing when everything is mission, nothing is mission, to kind of echo again what Christopher Wright would say, when everything is mission, everything is mission. When everything is mission, everything is mission. Because we have these categories, they're all kind of all separated, but in the different parts of the body of Christ, we do all get to play, right? We do all get to play, and not that we do all get to play, this is a command, we all must play, right? We all must play. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. This is not periphery to our Christianity, right? This is central. And so there's a lot of different ways I've seen this happen. And so just one last quick thing. When we were in Nepal, guys, I guess I just want to give you a quick picture of this. We lived in this area. There's about 300,000 people in the surrounding villages. And I think the data was that there were about 13 Christians, you know, all of those villages around. There were not any Christians in the four or five villages around us. Not one. And we went there with our, you know, three-month-old Amos, and we began to tell the story of Jesus. You know, why are you here? I'm like, oh, good question. You know, and we would tell them. And we had community development, we had all kinds of other initiatives that would look at some of the other spokes, but that story piece was there. And guys, every morning I would wake up. I don't know if anybody's ever been to India or kind of South Asian society, but they often use these metal plates and metal cups and stuff. And so when they do dishes, it is noisy. And it starts early, you know, and you're kind of packed on top of each other in these little villages or whatever. And so you can hear in the morning, clink, 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 clink. Well, Trotter, it's time to get up, you know. But guys, from miles around, there's this clinking, there's these people and the people. And sometimes I would just sit out there on my porch and I would just, I'm going to get emotional, but I would just weep because no one knew the story. No one knew that Jesus was alive and that Jesus had come to forgive them of their sin and give them freedom and hope. The story had not been communicated. So we as a church, we must be about that. Giving, going, sending. And so as we look at all of these components, may we make that a priority to take the gospel where it's never been before, where people do not have a witness. I mean, I talked to people who had never, ever, ever heard the story. I mean, not even close. Not even close. I thought Santa Claus and Jesus was the same person. A lot of Americans probably think that too. Not really, but I mean, it was just unbelievable, you know, as we were able to tell the story to people. And so may we as a church, guys, we're going to have different areas that we focus on. So one thing that has been really helpful to Charity and I over the years when we were living, you know, in missions and stuff and doing different things is there was a church who would often, about once a year or so, they would just get cards together. And they would mail letters of encouragement. They just took 2 or 3 minutes out of their church service and had people write us notes of encouragement. And those whole things would just arrive to us. And almost every time it was like, oh, I want to quit. It was like that day. And they would come. And I would be so encouraged. And sometimes the notes were just dumb. I mean, like, people just didn't know they don't know anything about us. It was like, hey, I hope you go to Starbucks soon. I'm like, wow, there's not a Starbucks within like 5 hours from us. But anyway, doing the best they can to encourage. We've also had prayer groups who I knew once a month that they were specifically praying for us. And we had assigned them, that we would call them Barnabas groups, right? And they would just be encouragement to us. They were playing in mission. There was another couple who was in a ministry and they still support us. They've been supporting us for about $25 or $30 for, gosh, 20 years. They didn't have much money. They were pastors. And we got in this situation where we needed $7,000 for our visa. We didn't have $7,000. And these guys, they floated us a check for $3,000. They didn't have $3,000. And it was just the sacrificial giving and mission. And so that's an area that we can participate in and should participate in. I can't think of something better to spend my money on than supporting the mission of God, right? And so there's all these different ways. And this also means, guys, that there should be, it shouldn't just be one in 1,800, but there should be people from our church, right, that we gladly send out, that we send out our best and our finest and our brightest. It's just kind of funny. I see, like, people, it's like an honor a lot of times, like, to send out your best and brightest in the military. We're sending our kids out. We're sending our kids out. And then we're like, ooh, I'm not sending my son to the Muslim world to minister. It's like a heart check, right? Let's be that kind of church that is just as excited about all of these other professions and all these other things as we are about sending people out in mission. And may we send out our best and brightest. And, oh man, we're going to lose people. Yeah, we probably will. That is the nature of the mission of God, as we send and we send and we send. All right, and so I share all that, guys, just to say that there are so many different ways to get involved. I'll probably on my email tomorrow even throw out some other ideas. But this, guys, this is not tacking on and tacking on and tacking on more to your to-do list. This is who we are. This is who we are as Christ followers, as sent people into the world. And we all can join in God's mission. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much that your mission is big. It's robust. It's heaven and earth colliding. And Lord, I'm so thankful for that. Oh, Lord. Open our eyes, Jesus, just as you pray, Lord. Lord of the harvest, we pray to you, God. We pray that as we look at our world and different nations and different people groups, even right here in our local context, people who haven't heard the story, God, I pray that you would open our eyes, that just as Jesus prayed, that we would have compassion to realize that people have been thrown overboard. And there is salvation necessary and needed. Oh, God, God of salvation, Lord, would you come? And would you help us to know the best ways to do these things? Lord, I just pray for each one as they consider the things that we've been talking about today. May we consider what it is, what role that you would have us play. May we be a church who is on mission with you. That we would never put missions at the periphery, or that's just for the elite, or that's for this and that and that. But we would all be playing, and I'll be participating in your mission. Lord, we praise you. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.